Ronaldinho takes, and David Seaman's cool off his line, and Brazil take the lead. Oh, how about that?
Shaqiri, here is Shaqiri. Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes!
Destination 2026, Houston's Countdown to the Cup.
Presented by Coca-Cola Southwest, Houston Methodist, NRG, and Quanta.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome into Destination 2026, Houston's Countdown to the Cup. Brought to you by Houston Methodist, Coca-Cola Southwest, Energy, Quanta, Visit Sugarland, and Aramco. And we appreciate everybody tuning in here tonight for our weekly World Cup updates. Now, tonight, a couple of great guests on the show. Obviously, we're keeping tabs on all the U.S. men's national team players and their performances. There will be a Mauricio Pochettino picking of a roster this Thursday, tomorrow, and that will include players that are going to play against Paraguay and Uruguay. I think this will be pretty telling. Paraguay and Uruguay are going to be very good competitively. These are teams that have qualified for the World Cup, and they are some of the best out of South America. So these are going to be very, very good games. It'll be interesting to see who gets put on the roster. It's pretty clear Christian Pulisic will not be there. Milan and U.S. Soccer have come to an agreement there. So he will not be picked in this upcoming international window. So Brian Shiretta from American Soccer Now will join me. We'll talk a number of things, including Gio Reyna's decline. He's not going to the World Cup. But that ain't happening. So we'll talk about that tonight and some of his recent quotes. And doesn't look like he's found maybe any accountability, but it's kind of too bad, kind of sad. He's on Borussia Mönchengladbach, which is in 16th place. He's not a starter there and has yet to score a goal. All right, our other guest, a good one, Jan-Luc Blackburn, good friend. Jan-Luc is from the Netherlands, and we're going to talk about all things Dutch soccer. Now, by the way, this is the greatest soccer-playing nation never to win the World Cup, got the three finals. Of course, the two in 74 and 78. They have won the European Championship, but, you know, the Netherlands is just, it's a great soccer nation, rich history, innovative historical tactics from Rinus Michels, total football. The country is identified with the quality of play. World-class players. I mean, the football culture there is incredible. So in the 70s, the Dutch, Rinus Michels, and his captain, Johan Cruyff, who really orchestrated everything in the middle of the field, well, the tactical system was unique because there was all this positional interchanging. There was higher pressing. Attacking play and, you know, forever influenced soccer, even current day soccer. And of course, Johan Cruyff, exceptional player, but then would go on to start La Masia at Barcelona, coach Barcelona to great success. And the other thing is, you know, they perform. They haven't won the World Cup, but they have been in the final three times, 74, 78, 2010. You know, they're always a top team in world football, no question about it. And they're on the fringe of qualifying for the World Cup. 1988, you have to go to with the Netherlands, European Championships, Ruud Ullit, Marco van Basten. This was a major trophy win, 1988, winning the European Championship. And then generations of players. I mean, Cruyff, Neeskens, Rensenbrink, Rude Kroll, you know, all kinds of names and stars, Van Basten, Robin Van Persie. So there's always incredible Dutch soccer players. The famous Ajax Youth Academy always comes into play. And the technical skill, tactics, the creative side of Dutch football is something ingrained, and it's kind of ingrained in Dutch society. And that's what has created this. You know, you think of the Dutch and you think of the Netherlands, you think of something special when it comes to a soccer playing nation. Okay. I want to take you into, speaking of that, let me give you a couple of World Cup qualifying updates. And by the way, right here in Houston, Texas, we will have five group stage games in June. And then we go to knockout stages, two games. So we have seven games here in Houston, upcoming World Cup next summer, this coming summer. FWC26Houston.com for more information. This show is a go-to right here at ESPN975.com. Soccer Matters is a go-to for all World Cup information. And getting to know Houston from your, if you're out of the area, hit me up on Twitter and Instagram at Glenn Davis Soc, at Soccer Matters GD. You can also go over to our YouTube channel, Soccer Matters. Again, FWC26Houston.com, merchandise tickets, volunteer information, and Twitter, Instagram at Glenn Davis Soc, and also on Facebook, Glenn Davis and Soccer Matters. Okay, so there we go. A lot of places to get information. So here's who's qualified again: Canada, Mexico, U.S., the host nations. England was the first team to qualify from UEFA. South America, it's Argentina, Brazil, Colombia, Ecuador, Paraguay, and Uruguay. Bolivia will go to the intercontinental playoff. Asia, it's Australia, Iran, Japan, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, South Korea, Uzbekistan, Qatar. They've all qualified. Iraq and United Arab Emirates vying for a playoff spot. Africa, it's Algeria, Cape Verde, which is an island off Africa, Egypt, Ghana, Morocco, and Tunisia, all confirmed, with group stages still deciding and additional spots. Oceania, New Zealand, the sole direct qualifier there. Now, European qualifier status, there's still a lot of that going on, and it's coming up. So teams like Spain, France, Portugal are all close. Netherlands, they're all close. And all of them are going to qualify here in upcoming match days. Because remember, December 5th is when we'll find out what teams are going where. So everybody's got to be qualified by then. So let's talk about UEFA. Denmark has 10 points, Scotland 10 points at the top of Group C. Denmark currently is qualifying on goal difference. Both will at least get a playoff spot. Greece and Belarus have been eliminated. Group B in UEFA, Spain 12 points, a perfect record, mathematical qualification. They're leading Turkey by 3 points. Georgia and Bulgaria no longer in contention. They're out. Group F, Portugal leads with 10 points. Bruno Fernandes, Cristiano Ronaldo, they are close to securing qualification. Hungary is 5 points behind in second place. Group G, and that's where the Netherlands is. They're going to play Poland. They beat Poland. They will win Group G and qualify directly, which pretty sure they technically have already. Poland heads to the playoffs. Remaining teams will be eliminated or out of direct contention. So you got a lot of big teams. Now, let's go to CONCACAF. Group A, Suriname and Panama are joint leaders with 6 points, followed by Guatemala and El Salvador. El Salvador's out of it. Group B, Jamaica leads with 9 points after the horrific hurricane. Curaçao and the Dutch manager, Dick Advocaat, they were in Houston right behind at 8. Trinidad and Tobago and Bermuda trail. I mean, their hopes are lingering to get a playoff spot. Group C, Honduras, 8 points. Costa Rica, 6. Haiti, 5. Nicaragua out. Format coming up. So you're going to have coming up here November 13 and 18. This is going to likely decide final qualifications. Again, the top team from each group will qualify directly. Runners up will be ranked, and the best two progress to the inter-confederation playoffs for final chances and opportunity to get to a World Cup. So 48 teams, most ever in the history of the World Cup, definitely is something very, very different when it comes to World Cup qualification. So again tonight, we got some great guests, Brian Sciarretta. We're going to get caught up on the U.S. men's national team performances of certain players. We're also going to get on Jan-Luc Blackburn, and we're going to talk about the Dutch footballing culture, and we're going to talk about how many Dutch reside in Houston, all those kind of things. Again, the draw is December 5th in Washington, D.C., so that's going to be a really big day, and that's right around the corner, as are the final dramatic moments of qualification. So in November here, everybody's going to be qualified by December. So a lot of big games coming up in this next international window, November 13th and 16th. And that's going to be something to tune into. There's going to be some unbelievable emotion. There's going to be agony. There's going to be ecstasy, all kinds of things that are going to occur in this final round. Again, the World Cup takes place June through July 26 across Canada, Mexico, the United States, expanded field of 48. And in size and scale and effect globally, this will be the biggest and most historic tournament, I think, in history. And there's already been crazy talk about having a 64-team tournament. Let's put a kibosh on that. Let's see how 48 goes, first of all, because I don't think we want to get moving that quickly to 64 teams, but it is all about expansion. All right, a little bit more housekeeping here. FWC26Houston.com, merchandise, tickets, volunteers. We want to really thank our great sponsors of this show, Houston Methodist, Coca-Cola Southwest, Energy Quanta, Visit Sugarland, and Aramco. We thank you very much for being a part of bringing us the opportunity to bring soccer news on the airwaves here concerning the 2026 FIFA World Cup. All right, two more segments to go tonight. Brian Sciarretta, American Soccer Now. We'll get more updates on the United States men's national team, Jan-Luc Blackburn, and we will discuss the great soccer-playing nation of the Netherlands. All right, let's take a break here. It's Destination 2026, Houston's Countdown to the Cup. Stay with me, Glenn Davis. More to come.
Loaded, ready to rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Do want to remind you about YouTube TV customers. You could lose ESPN and the sports you love, including college football, college game day, Monday night football, the NBA, college basketball, and more. If you want to take action, you go to keepmynetworks.com to keep ESPN.
Listening to Destination 2026, Houston's Countdown to the Cup.
Presented by Coca-Cola Southwest, Houston Methodist, NRG, and Quanta.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. ESPN 97.5, your humble host, Glenn Davis. It's time to talk, as we want to keep monitoring U.S. players in Europe, it's time to talk with the one and only Brian Sciarretta, American Soccer Now. He joins us now. Brian, how are you?
I'm always great, Glenn. Thanks for having me on your show.
All right. We're going to rattle some stuff off here. Let's start with Christian Pulisic, AC Milan. Sounds like Pulisic's not coming back to play against Paraguay and Uruguay, as U.S. Soccer and Milan have agreed.
Yeah. I mean, it was kind of noticed that there's a bunch of injuries for the U.S. team at the last international break, and how to handle Christian and his club situation is a delicate one, and it's in his best interest to be playing as well as he can be for AC Milan. I think Pochettino knows what he can get from Christian. He Christian's a lock starter It's just about it's about managing him. And right now it's just doing whatever he can to be playing on a daily basis. And that's with Milan. So, that yeah, he's not going to be here. But it's good for also the U.S. to be prepared to win without him.
Is there a worry about his durability, you know, going into the World Cup, where he's at injury-wise? I mean, that's a worry with everybody, but it might be a little bit more of a worry with him.
I'm not as worried as I would have been if they were playing Champions League soccer and, you know, and doing everything, a lot of European games. But their workload's about as light as you would expect for a team with its best player. I mean, I think any manager would take his situation at his club with his workload. So it's about as good as it's going to be. But, you know, injuries can happen, you know, at any time. You know, you can't bubble wrap players.
Yeah, and I think people need to remember there's still a number of months prior to the World Cup. And, you know, there's lots of things can happen. Injury, form can change. Speaking of form, here's a guy that's not in a lot of form and maybe is slightly not in reality. Gio Reyna at Mönchengladbach is 16 out of 18 teams. He's not starting there. Listen to this quote, which is a little disturbing to me because there's just this air of entitlement around him, a talented soccer player. He says, quote, maybe in certain ways, he's talking about the whole World Cup debacle. I'm just not going to sit here and take all the blame for something that was made out to be completely my fault, which I believe it wasn't. And also my family, too. Your thoughts?
I don't think he did himself any favors with that interview. You know, look at what Pochettino said about Christian Roldan, about why he wants him on the team. It's like he acts the same whether he's starting or whether he's not starting. You know, you can always depend on him to give an effort and be a great team player. Roldan's going to put himself on the World Cup team because because of his attitude like this. And Gio's the polar opposite. He's pretty much not even regretting how he behaved, entirely regretting how he behaved. And it's just because he was mad he wasn't playing. So I don't understand why any manager would want someone like that on the team when they know, like, this is what you're going to get if you don't start him. He's not as good as he needs to be where, like, he always has to be starting. He's not that good. So, yeah.
I'm at the club level. He went to Nottingham Forest.
Yeah.
Fish out of water there. Didn't do anything there. We all know he has an ability, but I'm ready for the dance to be done with him.
And I don't even have him on my
He's got to show that he's a maturing adult and soccer player. I don't know who the people are around him. His father, obviously. I don't know who's given him advice, but I could not believe that soundbite, to be honest.
Yeah, I think I don't even have him on my projected World Cup roster. And until he shows he can start a game and play, which he's not even close to, I don't even consider him right now.
Yeah, I think you're right. Not reading the room well. You got a coach that it's pretty clear on what he wants out of players when it comes to attitude and effort. Not reading the room, and, well, it's a shame. But that's that. Let's go to Haji Wright. 8 goals and 12 starts, but Coventry lost to Wrexham in the EFL. Still having a good season.
Yeah, a little bit cold recently, but I think he's fine. He's doing well. He can help the team playing center forward or playing wing. And I think at a time when Josh Sargent's cooled off tremendously, Haji's raised his game. And yeah, and I think he's on the World Cup team. I don't know if he starts because I think you got Balogun and you can get like Weah and Pulisic on the wings if they're all healthy. But I still think he's a really great bench option for the team, and he can start also if there's an injury or two. So, yeah, obviously he really helped himself in the last window. He's doing well and obviously plays himself into a promotional race. It's going to be great to see how he can handle these pressureful games. I think that will only help him.
I really feel we have some competition in that position between him and Fowler and Balogun and Ricardo Pepi when he gets a little bit healthier. I do think the athleticism of Wright and Balogun and even Pepi to an extent is very important in that position for the U.S. That kind of pushes Josh Sargent, a talented player, down the pecking order for me, not to mention that he hasn't scored goals lately. How about Fowler and Balogun? How's he been doing?
Okay. I think it's he's going to be on the team because he played his way in on the last cycle. Pochettino rates club, but he also rates how you did the last time he was with the U.S. team. I think he's impressed. The team has won its 2 out of its last 3 games, 2 wins and a draw, and he's been a big part of that turnaround. So he's not going to get dropped anytime soon. I think Monaco's been a little bit uneven lately, but still, Balogun's, dangerous. My concern about him is he's not as dangerous in the air as perhaps you want a U.S. striker to be and how they want to play. He's good at getting behind lines and stuff, but that's still an important tool. He's on the team. I think it could be depending on the opponent who starts at forward for the U.S. team.
And you get good movement from both those guys too, I think, Wright and Balogun. That's,
and Pepe too, yeah.
Yeah, that's another thing to think about, the ability to create space for others, and I think those guys can do that. Brian Chiaretta, American Soccer Now, joining us here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5 and on Destination 2026. Guys that have fallen off the radar that obviously aren't meeting the measurement of Mauricio Pochettino. One guy that's fallen really far is Joe Scally.
Yeah, you know, he wasn't there's something in that Nations League that Pochettino saw from Scally that he didn't like. And Scally's been up and down. He's on that bad Mönchengladbach team right now, and he's doing okay, as well as you could for a bad team. But, you know, look, I think it's there's a reason why he's not there. He's under consideration. Pochettino knows who he is. But he hasn't been brought back since at any time. So, yeah, I'd be very pessimistic as to his chances. It seems like Pochettino's just kind of moved on without him and a couple other players. But you're right. I mean, he's a guy who can help out either a couple of different positions, even central defense if you need. But, yeah, I think there's something happened in that Nations League window that, you know, he was just done.
Brian Chiaretta, American Soccer Now. Tyler Adams hit the score sheet. Mm-hmm. Bournemouth, although it was a 3-1 loss to Manchester City, but there's no doubt he is a key piece for the upcoming World Cup in 2026.
Yeah, I mean, he really glues the prevents, you know, really shields the back line well. And I mean, the way he can play the defensive side of the midfield game is at an elite level. I mean, I think that's why, you know, Bournemouth is, you know, they entered in this weekend in second place before the loss. You know, he's a big part of that. I mean, he's not a dynamic player with the ball. I know he scored over the weekend but you know, his real strength is defense and winning balls and stuff. And he's so good at that, but you're absolutely right. He's a big part of the equation and he's having a great season. And fortunately he was pulled off with a minor injury in the 80th minute, but it doesn't seem like it's major according to the post-game comments.
The thing with him is when you watch a Bournemouth game, just focus on him for a few minutes. And
yeah.
You see the ground he covers, the positions he takes up to balance off other people. And I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to my listeners as well. You'll see his ability to move laterally, and he sees things quickly and can put all these fires out. And I think you used a very good word, shield for the back line and for center backs. But that's when you appreciate him, is you just watch his engagement, his connection, and his ability to close down spaces and provide balance so that it allows others to attack. So I'm a big, big fan of Tyler Adams. I'm glad he scored a goal. Who else is in your mind right now in Europe?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of injuries right now. You know, Malik Tillman is, when he gets back, that's a big question mark. He didn't have a good game, a tough game over the weekend, but Tanner Tessman was pulled in the 15th minute tactically. Couple reasons for that, but he's had a great season. So I think he's really helped his case, in terms of, bringing some athleticism there to the midfield, because if they're going to go with that three-man back line, you're not playing with many central midfielders because you're playing with the wingbacks on the outside. And it could, it's going to be who partners well with Tyler Adams, and I'm kind of curious to see how Tanner plays with Tyler, potentially in a two-man set. And then you got Weston, still plugging away with another manager yet at Juventus, but, I think he's doing well. He's in the best physical shape of the last couple of years. Let's put it that way. I think that's really useful, for Weston. I mean, I think there was just so many questions.
I think about it's been useful. It's a requirement if he's going to make the team. And I think he's going to be there in the end, Brian.
I absolutely think so.
And look, he's another guy along with Adams that have gone through a World Cup together. Mm-hmm. He said he was toning down his diet and everything. So yeah. I think it's a necessity he's there.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously it's and he can do when he's on, he does so well. And if he's in, he hasn't been good for the national team until his past window for a long time. And now he's playing well. It's a huge boost to the U.S. team. And then obviously Chris Richards, he's so indispensable to the team right now. It's actually frightening. They got a lot of eggs in their one basket there, particularly in the back line. He's having a career year. He's going to be the U.S. Soccer Male Player of the Year. I'd be stunned if he's not for 2025. But yeah, they just got to keep him healthy, because I think if he's the one constant they have there in central defense, and if he's so good, and if he goes down, oh man, like, and I know there's been, he has an injury history. So that's the biggest concern right now, is just making sure Chris Richards is healthy, because he's been so good for Palace this year.
Well, he is really, to watch him mature has been really something wonderful. Just the way he carries himself, and there's just an air of confidence now when he plays for the U.S. and obviously Crystal Palace. But I just love seeing players when they kind of graduate into that next area where become more seasoned, more mature, more confident, and they carry the look of a pro even when they walk and run.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think he had a kid over the, you know, recently too, and I think that that's helped with his maturation personally, you know, off the field, on the field, they're always linked somehow. So a lot is going right in his world right now. And if he plays well, the U.S., that could be really one of the big things the U.S. team needs to achieve what it wants to achieve.
Brian Chiaretto, American Soccer Now. What about Anthony Robinson? How's he doing injury-wise? That's a little...
They're very quiet about it. And I think it's a huge concern for the U.S. team right now. I don't really know. He's been out. He had knee surgery back in June. Yeah, he's only played sparingly, and they haven't been clear about when he's coming back. So the murkiness, just, you know, I think it's a big concern right now with him. Again, a guy who had microfracture surgery when he was in his teenage years, and, you know, you worry about the long-term durability after that. You know, so I don't know. You know, I don't like to play doctor here when I don't have any, I don't have a medical degree, I don't have any information, but I am concerned.
You use the word murky. That always is a bit concerning. Now, the good news is there's quite a bit of time still to get him back in shape and ready for a World Cup and to play for Fulham. But, boy, you're right. He is indispensable, especially with this move tactically to a three-back system, which it looks like this is going to stick under Pochettino. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's one to really, really keep an eye on. Keep our fingers crossed on that one, right?
Yeah. Look, I mean, and you just got to hope Max Arfston continues to play that great game yesterday, continues to play well, because, I mean, it's looking like he's going to get two more starts, and he's started all year. So you got to hope that that leads to some kind of comfort level in case, you know, you can't count on Anthony. So we'll see.
Paraguay and Uruguay are coming up next for Mauricio Pochettino and the U.S. national team. This is great, great competition. I mean, to think you got Ecuador, Paraguay, and Uruguay in a short amount of time is pretty good.
Oh, of course. You know, the South American teams are, you know, what's good about them is when you're playing a friendly, sometimes European teams play friendlies, but like South American teams play every game so hard, so intense. It's, they only have fifth gear on their, and how fast and how they're moving. So, you know, that's the best kind of thing. When you're only playing friendlies, you need to play intense teams that bring intensity. So that's good.
Well, Paraguay and Uruguay certainly will do that. Both of them have qualified for the World Cup as well. So good news is the U.S. has played four teams in recent friendlies that will be in the World Cup. They're still qualifying to go, coming up very, very soon. X-Factors. You got any players that are X-Factors that could surprise?
Oh, yeah. I said, you know, Arfston could be that kind of a guy because I like what he brings out of the back. I think you need to.
Do you worry about him defensively, though? I know going forward, everybody likes him.
If they move to a three-man back line, no. I think he's good enough with that, where he's pushed up the field and he has cover, both with Tyler Adams kind of cutting behind him on a diagonal and then with the center backs. So, no. But if in a four-man back line where he's just one of two fullbacks, yes. So, yeah,
that's a good take.
So, I think that the tactical adjustment really helps him and then Serginho Dest on either side, you know, move forward. Another guy who's been battling some injuries, you know, if he gets back, I think Zendejas fits really well in with this team. I think his issue always, historically with the national team, always seemed to be he was nervous when he was playing with the U.S. team, and he never got to see him. But I think he's kind of gotten beyond that. And if he gets beyond that, I think that that's a that's a good thing. He has a long time good relationship with Christian Pulisic and Haji right back to their U-17 World Cup days. So, you know, I kind of like that chemistry there too. And so we'll see. I mean, I think that those are some guys there that you can like, and then we'll see. You know, Brendan Aaronson is another guy I kind of like, always off the bench, but a guy who can bring energy to games. Pochettino likes that. And I think in the NA, he'll be there and he'll be that X factor off the bench. With things start to stagnate a little bit, he's kind of the shot of Red Bull that you need to kind of get in there and start bringing some energy to the game. So those are all guys who I think play a little bit of a role that I think that Pochettino likes.
Alex Zendejas, that's a good pick right there. I had just written that down because I wanted to ask you about that next, and you jumped right into it. You took it. Club America, yeah, I like his energy too. He scored some very good goals for Club America as well. So that's a good piece there. Well, Brian, listen, as always, thank you very much. Great insight. Anything you want to say before we go here?
No, just looking forward to the next pieces of the puzzle coming out when the roster comes out on February, and this is comes out on Thursday. This is the last time the team will be playing before March, so it's really important. I think players want to, if they're healthy, they need, and they're not called up, it's a bad sign. So this is a good. We'll learn a lot about really how he sees the team this window.
It's also great now that they're playing a little better, getting some results, producing against some better quality teams, that the morale and optimism has been lifted after that little bit of a dark period there where everybody was going nuts. So we're getting pulled back off the ledge a little bit here. That's a good thing, Brian. The World Cup's going to be exciting. Thank you for coming on tonight.
Anytime. Thank you very much.
All right, Brian Sciarretta, American Soccer Now. Get his readings over there. Big thank you to him, as always, for coming on. He keeps us really up to date on what's going on with the players overseas, especially. As we go to break here, I want to remind you about Bins. Yeah? Bins is a street in Houston. Well, that's where Slip Sliders is. Slip Sliders are the best sliders going. They're down in the Museum District. So if you're in Herman Park or you're in the museums, head over to Bins, Slip Sliders. They've got all kinds of great sliders. They're made to order. They got outdoor seating as well. They're not your normal nice size slider. They're a little bit bigger, but they've got all the proteins you want, whether it's beef, chicken, salmon. My favorite is they do a patty, a shrimp patty, and that is an amazing one. It's called the Shrimp Shack. That's my favorite. I've turned a lot of my friends onto the Shrimp Shack. It is worth it. Get down there. It is Slip Sliders on Bins. Our good friend Rashid and his new operation places clean as can be. Great drinks, great sides, great desserts, and a long, long menu of sliders. So you have a choice of a whole bunch. I think during the World Cup, he's going to do some World Cup themed sliders once we find out the draw on December 5th. Okay, we'll take a break. More to come.
ESPN 97.5. This is Destination 2026, Houston's Countdown to the Cup.
Presented by Coca-Cola Southwest, Houston Methodist, NRG, and Quanta.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. ESPN 97.5, your humble host, Glenn Davis. Hey, quick word here for Slip Sliders down on Bins. Now, they have the most extensive and diverse array of sliders. They've got sliders like the Signature Slip, which is fresh ground chuck, American cheese, pickle, and slip sauce. The Caribbean Chick, fresh chicken breast seasoned with jerk seasoning, slip slaw, and pineapple. I've had all these. They're amazing. The Shrimp Shack, though, is my favorite. Made in-house, lettuce, tomato, avocado, and mayonnaise, and then they've got a secret sauce on that one that we don't know about. They're all done on toasted brioche buns, and by the way, they're all made to order. Chicken tenders, all kinds of sauces. They've even got a salmon one, the Captain Jack, the blackened salmon. It's Slip Sliders down on Bins right near Herman Park. And if you're in the museums, well, get over there and take in some of the best cuisine going. These are the best sliders, and these aren't small. These are good size. So I usually do about three, but I could do probably four to five easy. Slip Sliders, a big thank you to them. And YouTube TV customers, you could lose ESPN and the sports you love, including college football, college game day, Monday night football, NBA, college basketball, and more. Take action. Go to keepmynetworks.com to keep ESPN. With that, we bring in a very special guest tonight. Full disclosure, good friend, Jan-Luc Blackburn joins us now from Team Houston. Jan-Luc, how are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Always good. Always love talking football with you and talking Houston and World Cup tonight. We're going to focus very much so on the Netherlands, their football history, their World Cup history in this segment. So to be a Dutchman and to have gotten to three finals in 1974, 1978, and 2010, people call this the greatest soccer-playing nation to ever not produce a World Cup final win. What are your thoughts as a Dutchman?
Well, this has to be the year. Or sorry, next year has to be the year, right? So it's been in the making. We've been so close, right? We've been, as you say, right, three times in the final, but we were also two times almost there, right? I mean, so, and in Qatar and in Brazil. So I think it is our nation's frustration. At the same time, of course, we're very proud that we are always making it that far. And yeah, I mean, Argentina, it was close. Germany, it was close. South Africa, it was close. And we just were sitting every time on the wrong side of close, right?
Which of those three were, I know which is mine. But which of those three World Cup teams, 1974, 1978, 2010, is your favorite? I think I know which one you're going to say. I'll be surprised if you don't.
Now, of those three, I mean, I go back to the original one, right? I mean, the 74, which is what we are famous for. It's when the whole Total football started. I mean, that team was, I think, even to the country a surprise. And I think from that moment onwards, the whole orange journey started and is now sort of like I mean we are I think an icon in the soccer world, the orange. So it started with that team. So 74 is the favorite, but my real favorite is the 2014 team, because I was there, right? I was there for the first three matches, so ingrained in my brain.
He's Jan-Luc Blackburn. He's heading up Team Houston, which we'll have a little word on that before we finish the interview, but it's some really great stuff that's going on with Jan-Luc, and we do a lot of things together. All right, so that has to be a pretty identifying factor for the Netherlands. Like, the entire world knows the Netherlands for creative, attacking, total football, Rinus Michels, Johan Cruyff. I mean, that's pretty amazing in itself how Dutch football has this huge, huge, huge following, huge, huge, huge respect. All these great things that have come from the football out of a very small country.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know what, let's say, the secret sauce is, right? I mean, obviously, sport is a very common thing. Also, soccer in our country is a very accessible sport, right? I mean, everybody can play soccer relatively easy. But yeah, the popularity has grown tremendously. I mean, thanks to those teams initially in the 70s. And now, of course, there is, I think, a lot of pressure on the teams, right? I mean, even the expectation that we have to go all the way to the end, which I can imagine is for the team a lot of pressure. And, but it's exciting. I mean, we're getting ready for the qualifiers, right? In 2 weeks, we have 6 days of qualifiers that are going to be pretty okay, I think, for the Netherlands. I mean, still, we need to go and beat Poland, ideally. But then we're on our way to 2026.
Yeah, you beat Poland, you're there. And that'll be the first game. That is in Poland. Poland's on 13 points in Group G behind the Netherlands, who topped the group with 16. And then the final game for the Netherlands will be home against Lithuania. But if they beat Poland, that Lithuania game is going to be a celebration. That's for sure. So November is going to finish qualifying. December 5th, we'll have the World Cup draw, which will be held in Washington, D.C. So let's go back to the great players. I mean, I've always loved Johan Cruyff. I had an ex-teammate who played with him in Washington when he came over to the States. Ruud Krol, Rob Rensenbink, Johan Neeskens. Who was your favorite player, Jan-Luc?
Well, I had a poster in my room of Johan Cruyff, and actually my actual own signature is even inspired by his signature. So
oh, wow.
So there was his signature was on the poster, and I had to come up with my signature at some point, right? And so I was inspired by his signature. So still per today, I'm signing with that memory. Obviously, a very, very important player. I mean, for the Netherlands, for what he did afterwards, right? I mean, going to Barcelona and the whole sequence that came from that. But I also love, and again, that's because of that very special moment in memory, somebody like Van Persie, right? I mean, who created an unmistakable memory with a phenomenal goal against Spain in Brazil. And likewise, Marco van Basten, right? I mean, with a phenomenal goal. I mean, so beauties of soccer that are still being replayed and replayed and replayed. And every time when you see them, you enjoy them again. And every time when you see them, you go back in time and you think, man, wish I could have stayed there so much longer, you know?
I saw a highlight footage of Robin van Persie the other night, and I know what you're talking about. It's incredible. And, you know, it's amazing because, you know, you sometimes forget about them because you think so much about Cruyff and Neeskens, 74, Rinus Michels. But, man, one thing I do want to say to our listeners, the man who started in the right back position for the Netherlands in 74 against West Germany in the Olympic Stadium in Germany played a year here in Houston on the Houston Dynamos in the 80s. His name was Wim Serbier. Rest in peace, was a wonderful guy. Wonderful player, but he was the starting right back for the 1974 team.
And came from the famous Ajax squad, right? I mean, so you have in the Netherlands, I mean, obviously Ajax is one of the leading squads which produce a lot of talent that has gone all over the world, you know?
And a lot of people say, you know, for the American player and players going over to Europe, not just American players, but all over the world, starting off in the Dutch Eredivisie is a great place to go because of the coaching, the tactical acumen, the emphasis on the creative side of the soccer. And there's been a lot of players who've made the jump there and then make the jump to bigger teams. And, you know, what a great league. What a prideful league as well.
Yes. And it's, I mean, it's, we're a small country, so it's not the biggest league in the world, but it's a high quality league. And again, several of the top teams have gone on to be top contenders in the Champions League, right? So we're always part of the game. And the interesting thing that you see with also the Dutch players, I mean, they're everywhere, right? I mean, if you take a look at the Premier League, I mean, so the leading teams there, I mean, there's quite a few Dutch players. So you see them pop up in all kind of places. So maybe there's a little suggestion there for some teams in the US to take a look at some Dutch players, you know?
Yep, no question about it. We had Dick Advocaat was here recently, another big, big name. He actually played with the Chicago Sting in the North American Soccer League, but went on to incredible fame, not only as a player, but also as a coach.
Yeah, and he's doing some interesting things right now with Curaçao, which, as you know, is sort of like a connected to the Netherlands. So I'm very curious if they are going to make it, right? I mean, that would be an interesting, nice, smaller country surprise to participate next year in the World Cup.
Jan-Luc Blackburn, Team Houston. Jan-Luc, where can people find you?
Well, they can find, let's say, my soccer me, obviously, at Team Houston. So team-houston.com. We're warming up for a number of activities in the coming weeks. So there's soccer every day in Houston, as you know.
In Houston, what do we have, about 750, 1,000 people from the Netherlands? Is that the right area?
So around, I think the number is around 2,000.
Okay, wonderful.
Yeah, yes. So that's a small number if you compare it to, let's say, obviously other foreign-born communities. But we're very strong and we're very mighty. We do a lot of business, right? I mean, here in the city. And hopefully, you can imagine that on December 5th, which is actually a national special day in the Netherlands, it's when we give gifts to little children. And so I hope I'm going to get my little gift, which would mean that Houston is playing here at least one game, right? In this town, that would be one of the most precious gifts we can get on that day.
It would be pretty incredible if it happened. I do want to remind you, go to FWC Houston26.com, and that's where you can get information on the World Cup merchandise. It's FWC26Houston.com. FWC26Houston.com, and get information over there. You can, of course, always get it on Soccer Matters, and you can hit me up at Twitter and Instagram at Glenn Davis Sock. Jan-Luc, this Poland game, where will you be watching that? Will you watch it in your house? Will you watch it with others here in Houston? Will you have a watch party with the Dutch crew?
Well, actually, we have put on the Team Houston website, we have a watch party in the Velvet Oak Tavern for literally 6 days. Because as you know, the qualifiers are taking 6 days. They go from Thursday until Tuesday. And a lot of top European teams still all have to compete to qualify, right? The only one that's qualified from the UEFA is England, and all the others still need to play. So we're trying to bring all the Europeans together and watch top soccer during those days. And the Netherlands will play on Friday and will play on Monday. So we're trying to bring all the Dutchies, all the orange people, so to speak, all together. So watching in the pub, so to speak.
By the way, the Dutch women got to a final once too. I say that because the Women's World Cup is going to be coming up very soon after the Men's World Cup here in 2026. So,
Yeah, and talking about the women, there was some sensation with the under 17 in this, I mean, today or yesterday, right? I mean, they're basically gone at the last minute to the semifinal. So they're playing Mexico and hopefully get to the final. So we have a bright future in women's soccer. And also the young teams of the Netherlands did quite well on the men's side. So 2026 is going to be bright and hopefully after that as well, you know?
one thing about the Netherlands, I remember having covered women's football and women's World Cups before for different networks and calling games. I remember being in these tournaments, maybe three cycles ago, four cycles ago, three cycles ago, and watching nations like the Netherlands and saying, just watching them technically, watching the way they're coached. And I'm just saying to myself, well, once they narrow the gap, the physical gap that the US, the Canadas have, some of these countries, once that gap is narrowed, watch out. And that's why women's football now is as competitive as it is all over the world.
Yep. Yeah, and it's really, I mean, so one of the things we say in our Team Houston efforts, right? I mean, pay attention to women's soccer. Of course, all the attention coming here and this year also is on men's soccer, but women's soccer is taking off in a dramatic way. And there's a lot of very interesting things happening there. Now, the other thing I should say, right? I mean, you talk about, let's say, the Dutch and how they're playing. But one of the trademarks of the Dutch is, of course, our whole fan base, right? I mean, the fan parade is, I think, unique. The fan parade is now sort of kind of a branding thing of the Netherlands fan base, and so that's the other thing I hope to see, right? I mean, here in the States, just to see the orange parade going through, hopefully Houston, but any city in the U.S. I mean, it would be just a fantastic thing to see. And that also just demonstrates that, I mean, the sport is nothing but, I mean, it's sport, but it's also a lot of fun. It's a lot of enjoyment. It's a lot of camaraderie. And I think we're going to see that on full display coming here.
Definitely unique. Now, if a Brazilian was in the room, or maybe a Colombian, they might want to argue with you a little bit on that one. But yeah, no, the Dutch fans are amazing. They're so fun to watch. I like the guys that wear like the Dutch blazers and everything. Like they got custom suits, that are all orange. It's pretty incredible. Jan-Luc, a big thank you for coming on tonight. We're going to have you back on. You and I are going to go over a lot of incredible data. And things about Houston and just about the organic nature of it and how this is a World Cup for everybody. It's not just for the big corporate, you know, in that level. It's this is going to be Houston's World Cup. It's going to be for everybody. So thank you, as always, for coming on.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it a lot. And for the folks who are listening, right, I mean, so we have our first Spanish language event for Team Houston coming Wednesday in Paparuchos from 6 to 9. So if you are from the Hispanic community, y si quieres hablar football con nosotros, we can do it. And we're bringing a nice crowd and some nice facts and figures that you've seen some of those. And again, trying to get everybody excited for the sport and then for what's going to happen in 2026.
That's over there in the Sharpstown area, Paparuchos. All right, yeah, Luke, thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you.
That does it tonight for Destination 2026, Houston's Countdown to the Cup. Brought to you by Houston Methodist, Coca-Cola Southwest, Energy, Quanta, Visit Sugarland, and Aramco. Thank you so much for tuning in. Hit me up on Twitter and Instagram, at Glenn Davis Sock, at Soccer Matters GD. Also, don't forget, between Tuesdays, Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm, and every Wednesdays, Destination 2026. This is your go-to for all things World Cup. And if you're at a market and you're coming in from another country, well, this is where you get all your information. Again, Twitter and Instagram, at Glenn Davis Sock, at Soccer Matters GT, Facebook, Soccer Matters. And also, you can go to our YouTube channel, Soccer Matters. For Brian McDonald, I'm Glenn Davis. Good night, everyone.